the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the Feast of Pentecost is based upon the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." That's for the text. No one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood do not and cannot reveal this, but the Father in heaven can and does. Every time men make confession, proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, they do so by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking in a tongue alien to fallen flesh, a tongue which they did not learn. Thus, the holy apostles on Pentecost, amid the fire and vapor of smoke, spoke in tongues that they did not know, with Spirit-given utterance. The vision of tongues of fire resting upon their heads was not a miracle, but the Spirit at work through His Word, piercing the hearts of men, so that even the apostles would ask, "What does this mean?" And the people asked, "What shall we do?" That is the miracle. That is the intervention of the Almighty God in the course of human affairs, setting aside the laws of nature. For you cannot, by your own reason or strength, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him. But God does what man cannot. He comes to you and converts and gives new birth from above. He changes the stony hearts of men to fleshly hearts of faith. And all because of the Spirit's pointing to the merits of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Pentecost isn't some faraway, long ago event which makes it seem like God is that much farther removed from you. Pentecost, my friends, continues. This is who God is and what He still does today. He has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with His gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. Just as He calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps the whole Christian church on earth in the one true faith. All this He does by His Word. Men seek signs and get none, except the quiet, unbelievable, yet finished sign of Jonah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ out of the tomb. If you will not receive His Word and live by faith, then no moving of mountains will change your heart. Hear, O new man, born from above, at God's doing. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. The Holy Spirit is not interested in the special effects of His entrance, nor does He seek to draw attention to Himself. Instead, He ever draws attention to the salvation He has procured for you with the Father by the perfect atoning sacrifice of the Son. Holy Spirit teaches the doctrine of justification. That is, that God has made peace between mankind and himself through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to be received by God-created faith. God does not look upon sinful man with wrath, but he forgives them. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, received and accounted to you by God-created faith, justification takes place. The not guilty pronouncement is yours by God-created faith. God does not hold the sins of man against them, for Jesus has satisfied the law. He has fulfilled justice's stern demands in all for man. Death is dead. But this Jesus, whom you crucified, he lives. He is Lord and Christ, the victor who divides the spoils with his unworthy children by grace alone. He divides these spoils as the Spirit utters his words into the ears of sinful mankind, creating faith and sustaining it through his ongoing, ever-powerful, forgiving gifts of word and sacraments. It's God's Almighty. It is God who is the faithful one who will see you through this wilderness journey of suffering. As the Spirit utters his word, the one true triune God is revealed as being in control of the whole plan of salvation. A mighty fortress is your God indeed. And God has established the one in whom you take refuge. Because in Christ Jesus, true peace is brought to mankind. In Christ Jesus, the promises of God are already fulfilled and given to man by the gift of God-created faith, given through the continued utterances of the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Word and the sacraments, keeping the focus on Christ crucified. The catechumens, throughout their years of catechesis, in studying the six chief parts of Luther's small catechism, inevitably had the Spirit speaking to them, keeping them in the one true faith, affirming them in the faith into which they were baptized. Is the focus upon the confirmands this day? Is the focus upon Luther's small catechism this day? By no means. For both the catechumens and the small catechism were built upon the utterances of the Spirit. It's the word of the Lord that endures forever. And so it's the word of the Lord, the faithfulness of God Almighty, that will bring these two and next week two more and all of you and the whole body of believers to have faith toward God and fervent love toward one another. So as you hear the Holy Spirit continue to speak in a tongue that you can understand, as he continues to pierce your hearts, the thought will surely arise, what then shall we do? Heed the word. Be not despising it, but gladly hear it, and hold on to it as your only truth in this world of uncertainty. shall we do? The Holy Spirit brought Peter to say, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That is the God of the Holy Scriptures, the God of Jonah, who brought the pagan Ninevites to repentance and faith. He forgives, renews, restores, encourages, feeds, nurtures, heals, loves, and justifies by faith that even he predates and sustains. He does this not in some abstract philosophical way, but in the real solid things that he has given. In his word, in the cleansing waters of rebirth, infused with his name, and in the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you, in all by grace for mercy's sake, all by the death and resurrection of Jesus sent by the Father and proclaimed by the Spirit. There's nothing more comforting in all the world than that truth. And nothing can be allowed to corrupt or water down that saving message. There is nothing more expedient, practical, or charitable than to speak what the Spirit has given you to speak. Nor is there anything else that lasts. The fads of this world will come and go, even the inventions of men, thinking that they can help the Spirit along in his work. But the word of our Lord shall endure forever. This is your hope, and your present and your future wrapped up into one. The God of all grace and mercy has always come to his people, and now he makes his home with you.